Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's April 1st. It's episode 626, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today here at Horses in the Morning. Spring is coming to the whole country. Snow is melting. You're going to have warm weather before you know it. And I want to, Jamie, I just want to say a thank you to Gemma Kuntz and Udi Shepherd for posting pictures of them and their horses with wearing various things they've won from Horses in the Morning. Gemma posted a picture of her Big Butt Fjord. That is the biggest butt on a fjord I have ever seen. You can go to our Horses in the Morning page and find it there. This with the saddle pad on, that I tell you what, Gemma, you don't have any. Nobody's going to accuse you of not feeding your horse. I'm just saying. and then Udi posted a picture of her pretty gray, and she's wearing her breeches she won from Carrots. So we appreciate when people do that. It's always nice to put faces to the name.
I'm looking at these pictures right now. Oh, dear God, Gemma, you have got to put that horse on a diet. Holy cow.
There must be a story behind that.
That's the fattest pony I've ever seen.
I wonder what size girth she puts on that pony. Gemma, let us know. His name is Ank. Or no, Ark. A-R-Y-K. Ark. Ark the Fjord. Saddle pad looks good, though.
Yeah, it looks tiny.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
We need to talk to her about that next time she calls in. We need to ask her about that horse.
Holy moly. That's called laminitis, Jimmy. You got to figure that out.
Well, you had an exciting weekend we're going to talk about here in a bit, but let's find out from Jennifer what's on today's show first.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we open with competitors James Atkinson and James Alliston, who took a few minutes over the weekend to chat with Jamie, who played Roving Reporter this past weekend at the Galway Downs International Horse Trials. And then we pause for a little chat with Dr. Gordon Chang of Omega Alpha, and this time it's going to be about those lovely mares who have a propensity for villainous behavior. And last but certainly not least, Wiley will be here with wacky weekend storylines from Horse Nation.
Huh. Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And Jamie, I think it's your turn.
Well, first of all, happy Easter, everyone. And I would like to thank Diane and Berto for posting a photo on my Facebook timeline. Jennifer's going to share it right now. You know, one thing I obviously like to do at the end of every show is remind everybody that they need to spay, neuter, or geld. I did not know, however, that you could geld a peep. You can. And when you go to geld a peep, according to this photo, which she posted on my page, it's like a peep laying on a table that's like taped down. And there is a veterinarian, it looks like a veterinarian that is gelding the peep, and out of where you would be doing the castration comes jelly beans.
It was very funny. I got to admit, it was very funny.
It was great. So thank you, Diane. We're going to share that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page right now. So if you are listening, not live, go ahead and check back and you got to see it. It's awesome.
Did you have a peep? Did you eat any peeps?
Oh, God, no. I don't eat peeps. That's your thing.
I don't either. No, I don't like peeps either.
Yeah, after we did the whole let's see what happens when you microwave a peep, I think it was last year or the year before, I don't need to eat anything that does that.
We all had our chocolate, though, so we're good there. We all had our chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
I'll stick to chocolate at Easter. All right, my turn. Well, there are some owners that are $6 million richer after Animal Kingdom's back in the news and won the Dubai World Cup, the world's richest race over the weekend over in Dubai. And Animal Kingdom, the winner of the Kentucky Derby, decided to win again. And I have the race for you. Let's hear it right now.
They're just about ready for the big one. This it. Gates fly, they're racing in the Dubai World Cup, and Plan 2 was slow to move. Capone and Red Cadeau not showing a great deal of pace after the start. Royal Dowser is and went to the lead with Hunter's Light second. Side Glance third, Treasure Beach fourth, and An African Story. Animal Kingdom out wide. Dullahan closer to the fence, going forward on the inside of Meandre. Red Cadeau's on the rail. A length and a half to Plan 2. Capone is second last. And Casiano had immediately dropped out to the tail of the field as Royal Delta takes them to the back of the track past the 1,500 metres mark. First quarter, a leisurely 26.5. Royal Delta leading by three parts of a length. Animal Kingdom went up to be second. A length and a half away was Hunter's Light third on the inside of Side Glance. Another two lengths, Meandre on the outside of Treasure Beach. A length to Dullahan, ahead to Red Cadeau on the rail. A length to Plan 2, a length to African Story, Capone second last, and Casiano. A length and a half back is the best part of 13 lengths from the lead as they cast the 1,000 metres mark astern with 800 run in 50 flat. Royal Delta taking them to the back bend and the 800 metres mark with a break of a neat length over Animal Kingdom. A length and a half away, Hunter's Light on the fence on the inside of Side Glance. Two lengths beyond from being ridden along, then Treasure Beach. Dullahan's out three deep, Plan 2 in the middle. Red Cadeau on the rail, then Casiano, followed by African Story, and Capone had dropped out to be last with 4.50 to run. Coming around the turn, Royal Delta surrendered to Animal Kingdom, who darted a length and a half in front of Side Glance. Hunter's Light into the clear. Plan 2 on the outside, and an African Story, the Derby winner. Animal Kingdom in front for 200 metres left to go. Red Cadeau on the inside starting to flash home. Will he have time? Animal Kingdom leads. Animal Kingdom three lengths in front of Red Cadeau. And Animal Kingdom wins the Dubai World Cup in a US-Australia combination. Animal Kingdom has beaten Red Cadeau. Third tight between Planter, Side Glance, African Story.
Yep, Animal Kingdom. Now, that was a $10 million race with the winner taking home $6 million. And, of course, that's Graham Motion, who is the trainer of Animal Kingdom. And Animal Kingdom won the 2011 Kentucky Derby.
Yes, and it's incredible to think about when you hear all the names that are in there. Royal Delta, Dullahan, and Animal Kingdom, all the best of the best. Fly halfway across the world to run in this race, which, of course, the first U.S. horse to win it and the first Dubai World Cup was Cigar. So I think the purse was like $1 million back when Cigar ran it, and he's still, I think, one of the leading money winners that there are, but I'm sure Animal Kingdom, after winning that $6 million or whatever, has got to be passing him.
One of the disappointments, actually, was Royal Delta. You heard Royal Delta's name there. Ended up being 10th in this race. So Royal Delta really fell off. I don't know why that happened, but you could see he just ran out of steam toward the end.
Cheap.
Sorry.
I was curious to I haven't seen the video because I was out of town all weekend, but I'm curious to see how she did. Did she get stuck? I mean, what happened?
No, it just looked like she ran out of steam to me. Now, it was hard. There were so many horses in this race, and I was watching a little tiny video, you know, so it was hard to see who was who there at the end. But and of course, Royal Delta was being ridden by Mike Smith, so I don't know. We'll have to read some reports on that and see exactly what did happen.
Cool.
But that was the big one over the weekend. Race-wise?
Well, and some other things happened race-wise, and I think we're going to see a lot of new stuff going on for the Kentucky Derby field coming up, and we're going to keep you guys up to date on that. But I had an awesome weekend, Glenn. You know, on Friday, I actually got in my car and after the show and drove to California. I decided I couldn't stand it anymore. There was the Galway Downs International Horse Trial going on in California, and that was the last one I rode in back in November. And I just couldn't stand it anymore. And whenever all my friends go to a horse trial, I'm the pregnant fat girl who's at home looking at them on the, you know, eventing scores going, okay, who's updated? What's going on? You know, and I'm texting everybody, and I'm sure I'm driving them crazy. So I decided to go out there. I took a little girls' weekend. My friend Stephanie invited me to stay in her trailer. So I packed up Zenyatta, my dog, and hopped in the car and drove to California by myself, left Chad here at home to fend for himself, and just had an awesome time. That is such a great event. The whole venue is beautiful. The weather was perfect. The names, it's a who's who of who's going to be at Rolex this year from the West Coast. So it was awesome. And I got to sit down with a couple guys that are going to Rolex and are on the entry list for Rolex. And I now am pulling for both of them because they just had awesome weekends. And just to confuse you, why don't you tell everybody who I talked to, Glenn?
Yeah, you sent over these two files, and I said, why'd you send the same file twice? You talked to James Atkinson and James Alliston. So you couldn't get two names. There are no two eventers that event in the entire world that have closer names than that. And I was editing this today going, I got to put the right name on the right file.
Yeah, it was fantastic. We'll play James Atkinson first. I was lucky to sit down with him, and here it is.
I am sitting here with James Atkinson, who actually won the two-star today. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So tell us a little. First of all, you didn't have to get all cleaned up just for me, okay? No, seriously, how many horses have you ridden, and what have you been doing today?
So I rode actually just three cross-country rides today.
Yeah, and how many students do you coach?
Quite a lot. Yeah, and some course walks and, normal horse show. Yeah.
For those who can't see him, James is decorated in one of my favorite colors, dirt. Dirt and sunburn, but that's what you do here at a horse trial. So tell us about Gustav, your victorious horse today.
Yeah, he's a good boy. I took that horse, actually I rode him at the Pan American Games for Canada a couple of years ago at the two-star level, so he has quite a bit of experience at this level.
Mm-hmm.
I moved him up to the advanced and three-star level, kind of in a hurry, trying to get on the shortlist for the Olympics, and it's a little bit too much for him, so we just brought him back and given him some more miles at intermediate and the two-star, and so he has a lot of education, certainly enough education to be successful at this level, so it was great for him to get the recognition to win. It really was. He's a good boy.
So you've been riding him a long time. Was it one of those love at first sight, or was it like a hard climb with him to get him here?
You know, I've only been riding him for maybe 3.5 years or something. Yeah, he was sort of semi-retired. He belonged to my mother-in-law.
Oh.
And he'd gone.
Nice deal, dude.
Yeah, I know, right? and so he was standing around, and I saw him, and I thought he was kind of cool looking. He's got a lot of personality.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when we get along.
So what's next for you two?
I think he's going to have to do some more advance. I mean, we got to go somewhere from here, right? He's not a real CCI horse. He's not, he's fat, warm blood. And so so the longer courses are pretty tough for him, but he can be really successful, and he's really fun, and he has a great time, you know.
I hear they got a good course at Copper Meadows.
I hear they do. But I don't even get to ride it, which is so lame. Yes, because when you're organizer, you're paying the judges, so they consider that a conflict if you actually ride.
Can't you put it in, like, your somebody else's name?
What are you doing that weekend?
I know, right? I'll take charge. I did my first training there. It was such a great course.
Right,
of course, we're talking about James's Farm, Copper Meadows in California.
Yeah, no, it's, we got a lot of great shows, a lot of opportunities to move them up, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see.
And any up-and-coming stars in your barn?
You know, yes. I have a really awesome, big, huge mare owned by a girl named Chrissy Clarkson, one of our students and friends. And this horse is like 18 hands. She's huge and amazing. She ran prelim this weekend. She's doing really well. And
what's her name?
Santana.
Santana, okay.
And she is going to be one to watch. She's lovely on the flat, jumps the moon. She's cool. I'm excited about her, really excited about her.
Good. We'll look for her.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, to have a little fun with you, you just won the two-star here at Galway Downs. Kind of a prestigious thing. Like, if this were your Oscar speech, who would you like to thank? Like, give me your standing on the stage. You just won the Oscar for the two-star. Who are you thanking?
Well, I guess I need to thank the dressage judges, right?
Sure.
I mean, I rode the same test I ride anywhere else, and this weekend I won, so that was cool. That was cool. They saw whatever they saw, you know? My mother-in-law, who owns a horse, definitely got to give her props. She's the best owner ever. Lets me do whatever I think is right for the horse, you know? It's cool. And my wife, Taryn, and our working students.
In no particular order,
yeah.
Right?
In no particular order.
Because you know
That's
the wife
right.
comes first.
That's right.
Duh.
Yeah. My working students, I hardly know how to brush a horse anymore, you know? Always teaching and coaching and stuff. And Robert, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a great venue. What a great, he's made it a prestigious place to win. Right?
Yeah.
It's cool.
Well,
it's an awesome place.
Well, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
All right.
I hope his wife doesn't listen to that, Jenny. You know what I found interesting in that interview was when he was talking about the worm blood part. 10 years ago, they talked about thoroughbreds that way. It's just a thoroughbred. You know, and everybody wanted the worm blood. Now it's gone the other way, and it's like, he's a worm blood. He'll never make it.
Well, when he says he's a fat warm blood, you know, those Rolex courses and those longer courses are tougher for those guys to make time. And yeah, I do think you're seeing a little bit more of a spin into back to the thoroughbreds. But James actually came in first and third. He came in third on Annie Oakley, who was also his mother-in-law's horse. So, dude, score big time for that. Now, you're going to notice a theme between both James. Because I asked them both two questions that were similar. Number one, who are the up-and-comers in their barn? And you should have seen both James and James lit up when I asked them that question. As you could hear, he's like, let me tell you about this horse. And also, the order of which they thanked people. It's a little shady.
I thought that was a good question, by the way. That was clever.
I do appreciate how
they really
put
them off guard.
Yeah. What, Jen?
I appreciate how you put them in their place. It's like, now, wait a minute, you have this out of order.
Again, you'll hear it. You'll hear it again in the next one. Now, the next interview is James Alliston. And James Alliston he's just such an amazing rider. And he rode several horses this past weekend. And he actually finished on Tivoli in second place in the three-star, and also finished on Jumbo Jake in fourth place. So he had a pretty successful weekend. And here is James Alliston, and you're going to love the accent.
And I'm sitting here with James Alliston, who finished today second and fourth in the three-star. Tell us about these amazing horses you have.
The horse that was second is a horse called Tivoli, who's a Dutch warm blood. He's big, 17 hands. Very strong horse, cross-country.
From
really
New
good
York,
cross-country
huh?
horse, very fast. And quite a hot horse. And then my fourth place horse is a horse called Jumbo's Jake, who's smaller, 16 hands. He's from England, like myself. And
Is that where you're from? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell.
Yeah. And he's just kind of a cool, relaxed guy, gentleman, and
So they are a little different from each other.
Yeah. Yeah. No. For sure. Every horse is a little different, has their own personalities, but for sure I would say Jake's unique in that there aren't many horses at this level that have his kind of, you know, snaffle mouth all phases, just really relaxed, cool dude. Normally they're a little bit edgy when they're at this level. So.
And you have a third horse, Parker, who you've ridden the Rolex before. Do you have plans to go to Rolex again this year?
Yeah. You know, I didn't ride him in the three star because I thought my best chances would be with Jake and Tivoli. So I ran him in the advanced horse trial and he went well. So we'll go for Rolex with him as well.
So all three of them you're shooting for?
Yeah, they're all entered and it went well here, so that's the plan.
So you, I read you recently started your own training center. How's it going?
It's good. I'm enjoying it. You know,
a plug.
It's we're located in the East Bay and, it's a fun place. There's a great group of people there and I'm enjoying it. And it's hard work for sure, as I'm sure. Starting any new
Did you
business.
Finally hire somebody to muck your stalls?
Yes, we've done that. That didn't last too long, honestly.
Yeah.
When I was doing all of that, so we got someone doing that, lovely lady doing that, and it's fun. A lot of young horses for sure, which I enjoy bringing along, and it's lots of fun.
So who are the up and coming equine stars of your place? Who are we going to see coming up?
Okay, so I have a horse called Rubia who's 4 right now, but that's we say she's going to be the next R-star, who was 3rd in the 3-star. Big mare. She's chestnut, actually, but it's spectacular move, a spectacular jumper. It's the nicest horse I've ever had by a long, long way. She's only 4 years old,
God.
I know, so she's totally unproven, but it's not normal. So that one, for sure. And then I have newer on the horizon, I have a horse called Bond Street who is a new addition who looks to be a really good jumper, and I'm sure you'll see him out at one of these things hopefully soon.
So you obviously have so many horses to ride. At every competition, it seems like you're on multiple horses. Who helps you at these things?
I have a fantastic groom/student called Tori Speck, who's local girl actually to Temecula. She lives around here, so she loves coming down to Galway, and she recruited some of her old pony club students to come and help me as well, so they're all clean and tack back at the barns now. So I have her, that's fantastic. And then India McAvoy will come and help me at Rolex, I think, who owns Jumbo's Jake and another horse with me, and Helen Buscarin as well, my girlfriend, she helps too.
Wow. You know, we're talking to James Atkinson. He mentioned his wife last. You mentioned your girlfriend last. What is going on with you guys? Don't you know better than that? Well, you're constantly at the top of the leaderboard, it seems, at every horse trial. And I've been here in the West Coast, too, so I see all the time. So what is the secret? What is your secret? What is your formula?
Well, I think you touched on it. Good help, right? You know, I have fantastic help that allows me to concentrate on the horses and not be dashing around frantic trying to teach people and what and look after the horses, get the horses ready. So I think having a great team back at home, as well, riding the young horses at home while I'm away, you know, I only have my older horses at this show, so it's important to have great help back at home working the horses that are left, so I have that as well. So I think that's really key to running a good training business and also selecting the right horses. You know, I think I've got some great jumping horses. Some of them may take time on the flat and maybe a little hotter on the flat or have their weaknesses, because I really think there's no perfect all-round horse apart from Rubia. But
apart from all of mine.
you have to pick what you like and what you think you can work with and improve, and I think I've been good at doing that over the last few years anyway.
Picking the right horses and surrounding yourself with the right people. Well, congratulations and good luck. Do you ride anybody tomorrow?
Yeah, Parker and Mojo. Mojo did his first advance today, so that was exciting. So they'll show jump tomorrow.
Okay, well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Well, that was James Alliston that Jamie talked to over at Galway Downs. Now, how did he end up in California? Usually the UK guys come over and they end up on the East Coast.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get that in depth with it, but I must tell you that after listening to him and sitting directly across from him and holding the little microphone in his face and staring into his deep blue eyes and listening to that accent, I officially have a huge crush. I mean, huge. Huge. And so then after the interview's over, the barns are like forever away. And so I offered him a ride back up to his barn, and he gets in my car, and those beautiful look at me and start asking me about my horse. Let me tell you that when a man like that turns and asks me about my horse, now let painting a picture for you, I am no prize, okay? I am a very pregnant woman that is clearly sweating and uncomfortable outside. I'm heavy. I'm tired. I look like a mess, you know, and so it's not like any funny anything was going on. I mean, I was very respectful, but I must say that after he got out of my car, I was like, I had to take a deep breath. I couldn't stand it. I was the hugest crush. So you know who my pick is for Rolex this year.
I assume Are they both going? Yeah.
I think they're both going, yes.
Yeah.
See, we've got the Rolex entry update list, and James Alliston has three horses. I don't see James Atkinson on it, but things could change. But definitely I am hardcore pulling for James Alliston.
Yeah, and when they'll enter a bunch of horses, and then he'll probably end up with just one or two maybe. But they usually enter three and then hoping that one of them ends up. going. I love the picture you sent over. We'll put it in our show notes of the large bottles. Were they wine bottles that they were jumping?
Yes. Well, Temecula, California is known for being a wine place. I mean, obviously all of California is, but they do have a lot of wine vineyards and wineries in California and Temecula. So I think that was sponsored. But yeah, I thought that was the coolest jump, the coolest jump. So the standards are huge wine bottles. And if you want, we can post it on Facebook as my new crush.
Now, that was the picture you sent over, and again, we'll put this on our show notes for today's show. That was James Alliston, the crush, no?
Alliston.
Alliston, okay. Keep him straight.
I know James
Can you imagine the announcers?
If I said I had a crush on James Atkinson, his wife would probably come and get me, so.
But you're safe. All Alliston has is a girlfriend, so you're safe there.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm such a catch right now. Woo! I'm looking good.
Did you wear out walking around the show?
Did I what?
Did you wear out walking around the show? In your pregnant state?
You know, usually when you go to a horse trial and
that wasn't me.
Feeling all caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes, need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head, gotta get back to living.
Oh, there we go. I don't know what happened there. It was my fault this time.
I love Templeton Thompson, but, you know, at appropriate times.
Yeah, we'll hear that in just a minute. I think that was Coach Jen, actually, this time they hit the wrong button. Not me. Can't blame me this time, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm usually at fault, but not today. I did good so far today. All the sound has been on time, right when you wanted it.
I'm proud of you. I'm really proud of you. You've done really well. Hey, just to finish the thought there. Yeah, I usually walk at horse trials. I drove my little car everywhere. I drove my car to the barn. I drove my car to the arena. I drove it everywhere, and I'm still exhausted.
Now, is that one of those shows where there's golf carts and motorcycles everywhere?
Yes, but do you know how much it costs to rent a golf cart? It was like $300.
It's not cheap. I was always shocked. For like 2 or 3 days, it's $200 or $300. You want to rent one for Rolex, it's like $400. It's amazing.
You can, I don't want to buy it. I just want to rent it.
Exactly. I don't want to buy this thing. So I ended up just taking, I'd driven my Volkswagen Passat out there. So I just cruised around in that. So it was great. Are you there, Glenn? Did we lose you?
We may have lost Glenn. Yes.
Yeah, it sounded like he fell out of his chair.
yeah, I better go check.
Well, we're going to talk. Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk to Dr. Chang here in just a minute from Omega Alpha Equine and get a little bit of information. This is why I don't have them, about witchy mares. Jen, have you had mares before?
I have.
Have you had witchy mares?
I have. Yes. Which is worse, the witchy mare that's only witchy sometimes or the witchy mare that's witchy all the time?
See, they're both bad. That's why I don't have mares. I don't even let them on the property. I'm like, I have 3 acres. I don't have enough space to try to keep mares and geldings separated, because I have geldings that they think they're stallions sometimes, and they like mares too much. So Dr. Chang is actually on the line. So let's talk to Dr. Chang about it. And let's see. Good morning, Dr. Chang.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today on your day, our day sponsored by Omega Alpha Equine. So we're talking about mares, and I love the fact that you put witchy mares as opposed to the word you actually wanted to say, which...
No, I do not say that.
Oh, that was me. Sorry.
If I say things like that, I get into too much hot water, so discretion is the better part of valor. I just keep quiet.
Well, it's probably a good idea. So talk to us about
okay.
mares and hey, what's going on?
Well, I know for a fact there's lots of people who have experience with what the so-called witchy mare syndrome. And in this is that, you know, the mares just do not want to cooperate. They're a little bit touchy, etc. And a normal mare, when she's not cycling, is probably your best friend. But during that period, when she is in the cycle, you just go near to her, she'll snap your head off, type of thing. You're right. So, I mean, it is hormonal issues that's controlling it. Now, nobody knows exactly what hormone causes this change of behavior. However, they're suspicious. There are many suspicions. And one of them just happens to be overproduction of estrogens. And with that in mind, there is some evidence to believe that this actually is one of the causative factors, right? So now out there in the real world, when you're dealing with this type of behavior changes, etc., there is basically one drug out there that I know a lot of people use, but the downside to that one drug is that when you want to give it to your mare on a regular basis, you got to be fully gowned up, etc., because of the potential side effects of it happening on the person who's administering the drug. So, you know, you have to be gloved and gowned, etc., just so that you don't get any into you.
We can say the name of the drug. It's Regimate, and we've all, I'm sure, if you've been around mares, have had experiences with that. And I have had experiences with Regimate, and I was working at a clinic, Dr. Chang, and I walked into the room where we do all the medications, and I was going to drop a shot for one mare, and I put my hand down on the counter, and there was something sticky on it. I was like, what is that? So I just kind of wiped it on my pants, you know, and went around. Well, let me tell you that within about 6 hours, I started getting cramps. And the whole system started cycling, even though it was not supposed to cycle for about 3 more weeks. So
that is
the problem with Regimate. And, of course, I talked to the young gentleman who was supposed to do the Regimate, and he's like, oh, yeah, I spilled some. I'm like, you have to wipe it up. It was kind of a disaster. So is there anything that can be better than that?
There is. Fortunately, in the herbal world, there are many different herbs which can affect the hormonal system. Now, these herbs affect the estrogen system because what they have, the compounds these herbs contain, are what they call phytoestrogens. phytoestrogens are, in, for want of a better, a simpler way to explain it, they're estrogen. They're compounds that have estrogenic effect, but they're estrogen wannabes, meaning that they don't have the same powerful strength as an estrogen, but they do have some effects that you see with an estrogen. Right, so meaning that you will get the effect, but it's not as powerful, right?
Right.
Anyway, so what that means, if you have a horse that has a lot of estrogens floating around in the body, in order for an estrogenic effect to happen, you have to remember that the estrogens have to interact with the tissues in the body, and there's something called an estrogen receptor on some of these tissues. And when the estrogen binds to the estrogen receptor, you get the full behavioral effect, everything that happens, right? Now, one of the things is with phytoestrogens will also bind to these estrogen receptors. But because they're not as powerful as estrogens, they will lessen that estrogenic effect. So if you take some of these herbs that have phytoestrogens in them, right, they will attach to these estrogen receptors. And if you think about it, to let me make the picture a little bit clearer. Let's say you only have one. Let's say the horse has 100 estrogen molecules that it's pumping out. Then, if you take a herb that has phytoestrogenic effect, all of a sudden you may have 120 estrogenic molecules floating around, but you have 20 phytoestrogenic molecules which will interact with the estrogen receptors. And if you look at it, you have less of an estrogenic effect, because instead of having 100 estrogen molecules interacting with 100 estrogen receptors, you'll have 80 estrogen molecules plus 20 phytoestrogen molecules interacting with 100 estrogen receptors. You'll have lessening of the estrogenic effect. This lessening of the estrogenic effect, then, what it will do, it will make the horse a lot calmer, a lot more easier to work with, and a lot of the nastiness that you will normally associate with a chimera will disappear. It'll be night and day.
Now, is this available in human form?
It is. Now, I'm not going there, because that will just get me into trouble.
Because I'm pretty sure that after a few temper tantrums I've had in the past couple of days, my husband would love to douse me with that.
tell him we'll talk.
Okay.
No, it is available in the human form. Again, it's the same idea. You put extra estrogen into the body in the form of phytoestrogens. These phytoestrogens compete with the normal estrogens for receptor sites, and because they compete with for estrogens for receptor sites, you have lessening of an estrogenic effect. Right, and it seems to work really well with, especially with horses and with people, etc. It's a noticeable effect.
Wow.
And Omega Alpha does have a product that we recommend for that issue, and it's called Premier. Premier, right? The pre comes from premenstrual. Hence the term Premier.
Now, what would happen if you were to give it to a man?
It wouldn't do anything, because you know what, men. There is some estrogens produced in men. If you give it to men, because you have to remember, it is not as powerful as estrogens. So yes, you will have some estrogenic effect, but it's probably like 1/100th or 1/1000th as powerful as an estrogen, right? And that's why it works so well.
I was hoping that if we gave it to Glenn, he would grow boobs.
Wait a minute!
I don't think Glenn wants that.
Just kidding, good. No, is this something, Dr. Chang, that you give the mares when they're cycling, or just
all the
time?
What we suggest is that you give it to them all the time, just because the problem we're trying to catch them when they're cycling, it's hit and miss. You might catch them and you might miss. And what you need to do, if you give it to them on an ongoing basis, the effect seems to build. So my suggestion to people who have this problem, it's usually stress also makes the estrogenic effect even worse. So my suggestion is usually during show season, right? Just do it like a religion on an ongoing basis, and you'll have a different mare altogether. When she's resting, meaning offshore, you can discontinue.
Okay. So this is starting to make a lot of sense with the mares that I've had. You know, a lot of the times when they are competing heavily is when they're the worst.
Yep.
So I didn't realize that stress would affect their estrogen level as well.
Well, think of yourself, right? When you are under a lot of stress, right? If you do suffer from PMS, you will have. It seems to be a lot worse because the stress really just causes your body to pump out more estrogens, right?
Okay.
And that in itself is going to cause, you know, more of the estrogenic effect.
That is fascinating. So this will help you. It's Premare, and where can everybody find it? Of course, now this is where you have your chance to remind everybody what the websites are and tell us some places that they can find Omega Alpha supplements. And if you mess it up, then I'll come back later and tell everybody.
You can find our website at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. If you go on that website, it'll have a list of all the different places that carry it. And there's several web stores that you can actually buy that. And if you go to the website, it will direct you to all the different websites, the web stores that do carry the product.
Now, are you guys going to have a booth at Rolex this year?
Yes, we are. We are definitely going to be there. You know, Patty's going to be there. Unfortunately, I'm going to bail because I have a conflicting event that I have to be at. So, but then Jeffrey's going to be there, and some of the other regulars are going to be down there too. So you'll probably be seeing everyone.
Well, I won't see any of you because I didn't take my premier about 7.5 months ago. And now they won't let me fly to Rolex.
Well, congratulations. I did not know.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. But I'm going to be, I'll call you as soon as this baby's delivered. And I'm going to get the premare line so I can stop this nonsense.
Or if she doesn't call, her husband will be, Dr. Smith. Don't worry about it.
Oh, one of the things I was also going to point out is that some people are worried that if they're trying to breed the mare, if you put them on the phytoestrogens, it's going to affect the fertility. I mean, in the studies that we've seen with people, right, and whatever animal type studies we are able to get our hot little hands on, there really isn't that effect is not really there. We don't see that at all.
Okay, good.
So you don't have to worry about that.
It's just going to temporarily slow things down, and then it'll get back to normal.
It'll just dampen your estrogenic effects. It'll make you more easy to get on with, etc., and some of the other issues that you see with excessive estrogen, like water retention, etc., will not be there, right?
So
and that's on the human side.
It's going to make her more tolerable. That's what we're saying.
You have a horse that's a lot more tolerable.
No, I'm talking about Jamie.
I'm not going there. I am not going there.
Dr. Chang, I love you. You're a smart man, my friend. And thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you for having me on. And I know there are ways that you can make Glenn pay.
Oh, yeah. And I'm glad you're on my side. I'm glad you're a smart enough man, see?
I've been married too long. Let's put it that way.
You'd think Glenn
by the way,
too, but his
Dr.
Arm.
Chang, you got it right, too. It is OmegaAlphaEquine.com. You're not going to get in trouble this month. So.
Finally, I'm learning. I'm learning. You know.
Well, thank you, Dr. Chang.
We'll talk to you in a month,
I guess. But thanks for sponsoring today's show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I love him. He's so smart.
I know.
He's such a smart guy.
I almost got lost in the middle, though, when he was talking about what was attacking what. Then I caught back up again.
No, you too now, because it was talking about women parts, and you just really have no care.
But I know that you were paying attention closely for me, so I didn't have to.
Yeah, sure. That's what it was.
What it was. All right, well, how about we take a break for that song that we all heard of the start of earlier in the show? And we're going to do that. It's called A Horse That Can Fly by Templeton Thompson, right after this word from Equestrian Collection. Hi, Glenn here with the Horse Radio Network, and I have Debbie back with me from Equestrian Collections for the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
Hi, Glenn. This week I'm featuring the Shires Manure Scoop Set. any of our listeners who have dogs know what a pooper scooper is. It's something you can't live without when you have dogs, and this is the horse version. What this is it's a big, like a big pooper scoop, and it's got the piece that you rake it up has rakes on one side, so that when in the arena, you use it to just rake up poop in the arena after you've been having a lesson, scoops it up perfectly, or you can use it in your trailer or your aisle by turning that scoop around the thing that you push the poop with, and it's flat on the other side, so you can push the poop up off of a flat surface, which is a big pain if you're only using a pitchfork. It's only big enough for one pile of poop, so you leave it in your arena, or you leave it in your aisle, or you leave it in your trailer, and you just can pick it up as you go. And it just helps keep your aisle very clean, and it helps make it a lot easier to pick up your arena. I just got one like 2 weeks ago and love it. And the little thing stands up so things don't fall around. It's really, really great. You should look at it on the site so you can see what I'm talking about. It's the Shire's Manure Scoop Set.
That's one of those products that you wonder why nobody had invented it before.
Well, exactly. When I saw it, because I have been in dogs for years, and I said, oh, my goodness, that's great.
Instead of a doggy scooper, it's a horsey scooper.
That's right.
And it comes
it's
in pretty colors, too. It comes in pretty colors.
Well, yes, it does. Purple, black, and pink.
And the right price, under $25. You can solve that problem at equestriancollections.com. Just search for Manure Scoop, Shire's Manure Scoop.
Caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes. Need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass. Get me over that fence. Yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock. Fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've sat on these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good strong tall wind and a horse that can fly. Back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock. A fresh pair of strong tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Saddle these
Well, I bet you can't guess the name of that song. It was A Horse That Can Fly by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. And, of course, I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen over there in the producer chair. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, I got to give props out to the state of Delaware and the governor down there. Governor Jack Markell has declared that April 1st through the 7th is Horse Appreciation Days. He says Delaware has a strong and vibrant equine industry, which provides thousands of jobs from veterinarians to trainers. So he decided to recognize them. So they have over 2,000 equine operations in the little state of Delaware, including breeding farms and training schools, and they estimate it brings in $360 million. So congratulations to the state of Delaware for recognizing horses.
Yeah, thing. I think it's really cool. I think it's such a great idea to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and they have apparently have lots of Pasapinos and, you know, of course, thoroughbreds there because there's a bunch of tracks right around there. So I think that's good. And a kudos to all of our listeners in Delaware today.
Yeah,
hopefully
absolutely.
It's warming up.
Maybe you'll be able to enjoy your horses someday soon.
Yeah,
since you have
right.
200
to
million
ride.
Of them.
Hey, something else, too. I got to give you an update on our adopted jockey bug in training, Callie, who we talked to not too long ago, a couple weeks ago as she was passing through Florida here. She's doing well. She's riding horses every day. Her ankle is hurting less and less all the time, and she seems pretty happy down there in Florida. They'll be making their way to New York in the next month or two. They reside up there, so that's where they'll be all summer, but she's doing pretty well. I thought I'd give you an update.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, hey, there were some names that were added to the Rolex entry list. I think last time we talked about it, I said there was 43. They've now upped it to 59. That's a huge
wow.
field.
Yeah. They're going to have to beat that down.
things may change, but, yeah, that's 59 horses and riders, so that's great. I think it's going to be a great year. We've got people from Great Britain, Australia, Canada, the USA, New Zealand, all the way also, Ireland. So it's going to be a packed field with just tons of people. What is, I think Ecuador is ECU, right? Is that the country, Ecuador?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Well, yes. You know, we just talked about Callie, one of Todd Pletcher's three-year-olds that she works for Todd Pletcher, and his horse named Revolutionary won the Louisiana Derby and secured a spot in the Kentucky Derby. So there's another one that you're going to be looking at coming up. That was $1 million grade two race at the Louisiana Derby. Not too bad as a three-year-old to start off your career in your first couple races winning $1 million race.
No, hurt. Not bad at all. No. And I think that this past weekend was the Florida Derby as well, and Shug McGahey has a horse that won the Derby named Orb. And now that's a good name, Glenn. I thought you'd like that name because it's
like
three letters.
Name. You're right.
Orb.
I can remember it. You know, I can say it. So many of these names I can't say. And you know how I'm challenged at speaking names?
Yes, you are. So I thought Orb would be your pick. I have a horse named Violence, too, and Verrazano, but I thought you would like Orb. And what I like about Orb is that Shug McGahey is also the person that had Easy Goer, who was the Easy Goer Sunday Silence rivalry in 1989. Now, that brings me to another point that HRTV, I'm trying to go to their website right now, HRTV is doing a documentary on that rivalry. Do you remember Sunday Silence and Easy Goer?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Sure 1989. Do. So Sunday, let me replay my memory of it for you. Sunday Silence won the Kentucky Derby by a couple lengths. Now, I loved Easy Goer, who was his like arch rival, kind of like the affirmed Alidar rivalry. So Sunday Silence, black, beautiful, white blaze, gorgeous horse, wins the Kentucky Derby by a couple lengths. Then the Preakness and over Easy Goer. Then the Preakness. And Easy Goer comes up and he wins the Preakness. Sunday Silence wins the Preakness by a nose. And everybody's like, oh, he's got it, he's got it, he's got it. Well, I was the hugest Easy Goer fan. And I'm like, nope.
And then Easy Guard, blew by Sunday Silence, another Triple Crown ruined. And so there is a whole documentary, that movie that's coming out about it, and it's going to be shown on HRTV, and I'm super excited. If you haven't actually subscribed to HRTV, now would be the time to be able to watch this. And I think you can watch it now, actually.
Oh, cool. Very good. Yeah, I remember that Jennifer and I had just gotten married the year before, and we were living on a farm in central Pennsylvania, and she was just training me into horses and watching and caring about all this stuff. I was a horse husband in training at that point.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this was a good start for you then.
That's right.
The only thing he knows anything about either of those horses is because they came out in Briars. The only
you play
reason.
With Briars, Glenn?
No, Jennifer had Briars, though. The top Sunday Silence was ranked as 31st in the top 100 U.S. racehorses of the 20th century, by the way.
Where was Easy Goer? Sadly, probably not on the list.
Let me look at this. Easy Goer was ranked number 34, right behind Sunday Silence.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah, so they were right beside each other. And you want me to go down through the top 10 of the top 100 U.S. racehorses of the 20th century?
Yeah, we're just on this list.
Yeah, where else? Wikipedia.
Okay.
This is by winnings, I think, is how they did this one. So we had Man of War, number one. Secretary...
Oh, you're going to start with 10.
Okay, I'll start with 10.
What is wrong with you? No, well, now it's ruined. Might as well just start whatever. Who cares?
All right, number 10, Spectacular Bid. Number 9, Seattle Slew. Number 8, Forgo. Is it Forgo?
Forgo.
Forgo? When was that horse? I don't remember that one.
Kentucky Horse Park at Forgo. How dare you?
Really?
Yeah.
See, that was before my horsey time. Number 7, Native Dancer. Number 6, Dr. Fager. Number 5, Count Fleet. 4 Kelso, 3 Citation, 2 Secretariat, and 1 Man of War. So there's your
Man of War wins that battle. Now, these can't be by earnings because obviously.
You know, I'm trying to see what this is by. Oh, this is what the Associated Press had a whole bunch of. Here it is. Associated Press asked a bunch of questions of horse trainers, it looks like. So these were trainers that voted on this list.
You know what it is? It's some idiot like me who made a list and posted it on Wikipedia.
Yep.
I think it's pretty accurate, though, except for that poor girl who I don't even know. But I think it's pretty accurate other than that.
You know Dr. Fager and you don't know poor girl? What is wrong with you?
Poor Admiral should have been in the top 10 myself.
Oh, man. I got to school you a little bit. All right, let's get Leslie on the phone, shall we?
All right, very good. Is she here, Jennifer?
Well, let's see.
All right, you go take care of that. I did post the picture of James Alliston, my new boyfriend, on our Facebook page. So you can't see the wine bottle jump.
So you've given up on Jared Rogerson and several of the others at this point?
You know, Jared never calls. Never writes.
I did hear from him the other day. We're going to have him on the show soon.
Oh, good, because he's got a new album coming out.
Yeah, he dropped me a note, actually, and mentioned that. So we're going to try and get him back on the show soon. He hasn't really had a new album in a while, so I'm very glad he did. I can't wait to hear some of the new stuff. That'll be fun.
We need to play the whole album as a show. That'll be the greatest show ever in our Horses in the Morning history.
And if you can get James Alliston on the show at the same time, you'll be in heaven.
Oh, my God. My super crushes all unite.
Yeah, I love that. All right. It is time for the Horse Nation Report with Leslie Wiley. Good morning, Leslie.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you this morning?
I'm great.
Are you back home again with your husband? You're not out running around anymore?
Yes, for once I'm at home with my husband.
Okay, good.
Now, I have to ask you real quick. We were just talking about my new crush, who's the eventer, James Alliston. Do you have an eventer crush?
I have all sorts of eventer crushes.
He's limited to just one.
James, please.
Well, so, you know, I think my classic, everyone knows that I'm a Boyd Martin stalker. I call him my Boyd friend.
You have a little doll, too. A boy, you have a little Boyd doll.
I wish.
Bobblehead. A Boyd bobblehead. Yeah.
But I think, Will Coleman is just gorgeous also, so...
Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't think Boyd counts because he's every. He's like 90% of the event or girls out there has a Boyd crush. So that's almost like you know, not even cool anymore.
Leslie, last year at Rolex, I was walking up the street and leaving the trade fair, and I looked up, and Boyd Martin is like right in front of me. And we talked about this on the air, and Glenn was like challenged me after that to actually speak to him. I was following behind him, and I was like, okay, now's your chance. Now's your chance. He's walking by himself through the trade fair. Like, when does that ever happen? And I seriously could not speak. I mean, I interview people for a living. I could not think of one thing to say as I'm staring at Boyd Martin as he's walking in front of me through the trade fair. I'm like, I just stared at his butt. I could not.
Yeah, because that's about the height you are on Boyd Martin,
yeah,
actually.
Exactly.
Girl, staring at the butt is never the wrong thing to do. You made the right call there.
Yeah, so this weekend I interviewed James Alliston with his dreamy blue eyes and his English accent. So you gotta watch out for that. You gotta talk to him and yeah.
Yes.
Change your day. Change your life.
I love it when you give me homework. Like when you told me to look into hot polo players, I was like, yes, ma'am. I'm on
it.
You need to do it. I can do it. Well, what's still on Horse Nation there, Leslie?
Well, obviously the big breaking news of the morning comes from the FBI, which announced in a press release in a press conference early this morning that it is now officially recognizing gay horses. I think with all of the the buzz about marriage equality, you know, I think that the FEI made this call that they needed to step up and make a statement themselves. Actually, I'll just read you the press release that we got.
Okay,
it says it's Federation Equestria. How do you know? The FEI vows to officially recognize gay horses. This comes from Switzerland, their headquarters. Effective immediately, the FEI has instated a policy of non-discrimination on the basis of equine sexual orientation. FEI President HRH Princess Haya addressed the historical ruling at a press conference this morning. She says, gay or straight, these horses are all extraordinary athletes and should be recognized as such, she said, eliciting a surge of applause from those in attendance. So you got to give the FEI a hand, you know. I think they've been sort of operating on this outdated don't ask, don't tell policy for decades, really. And I think that they really, deserve a pat on the back for stepping forward and being progressive.
Got to tell you guys, we have had more gay horses, and for some reason, it seems like the geldings are gayer than the mares.
You know, I found that too. I've definitely found that too.
I mean, some of them we have had to take out of the geldings field and put in with the mares because they were causing less trouble over there than they were in the geldings field.
You know what? I'm really curious to see how this plays out in the breeding industry. I mean, what if, you know, you got like totalas?
Well, there won't be any babies.
Some one of the big stallions, you know, that like, and they're like, no, I can't do this anymore. I'm gay, and you can't discriminate me against me. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know.
Now, how does Horse Nation feel about this release?
we are super supportive of it. You know, I think that we are all for equality and civil liberties for all horses. We embrace this.
I can picture it now. You know that little red equal sign that everybody's posting? There's going to be a little red equal sign with a horse butt in the back. No.
Yeah, you know, Vending Nation actually made one, our sister site.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, there has, it looks like a jump. It has sort of the pink equal sign in the middle with a red flag on one side and a white flag on the other, and then sort of the equal sign in the middle.
Glenn Forrester just sent me a note, and he said, I wondered what those geldings were doing in the back 40.
Oh, this conversation could deteriorate quickly.
You better continue on to what else is going on in Horse Nation. That got me all confused now.
Oh, goodness. We've got tons of stuff going on.
Well, Leslie, let me bring up the Princess Haya thing.
Okay.
You've got a thing about how 10 things I hate about Princess Haya.
Yeah.
And you go through them, and you're like, number one, strike one automatically, she's a princess. Do you have it in front of you? Why don't you go down the list? And then I want to read the comments of people that have commented.
So Princess Haya, in case you're not familiar, she is the president of the FBI, and she also happens to be a princess. She was born in Jordan and I think married a royal dude from Dubai. So,
yeah, he's like one of the head royal dudes from Dubai.
Yeah. So basically that brings us to number one reason why I hate her. She's a princess. Automatic strike one. She has grown up and actually is living. She got the job that all of us wanted as little girls, which is being a princess.
Yep. Yep. And by the way, the house that she lives in over there is about the size of Rhode Island.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll add that to the list.
I like number two, and I totally agree with this one.
She's a total babe. She's so pretty. Hate her. Oh, my God. Who's that pretty
more
all the time?
And that leads us to number three, where she's in a ponytail. She's wearing, like, some gray fishing vest, and she's serving food to the hungry, and she looks beautiful.
She looks beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
I like
yeah,
the number
three
number
is
three,
she
yeah.
seems like a genuinely nice person. Screw that. Screw that. You can't be that pretty and that nice.
I'll keep going. It gets better.
Okay, number four. She pulls off all the hats I wish I could pull off, but instead I just look dumb in. Which is super, so irritating, right? Like, I found all of these pictures of her online rocking these amazing, like, Derby Day hats that, like, you want to wear because you're like, that hat's awesome. But you're like, you know, if you put it on your head, you would just look like a big freak. But no, she looks gorgeous in all of them.
Of course she does. She's a princess. Back to number one.
Right. She could put, like, probably anything on her head, and she'd still be gorgeous. Number five, ditto with fascinators, which are all the rage and so cute. You know, fascinators are the sort of headpieces that Kate Middleton sort of brought to, you know, she's sort of made those really popular.
No, it wasn't Kate. It was her cousins that made them popular.
Oh.
That were at the wedding there that were wearing. Remember we talked about that, Jamie, that we're wearing the two god-awful ones at the wedding?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Princess Haya, of course, looks amazing in them.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Number six. She always looks like she's having a great time because she probably actually is.
Yep. I love the picture. Every man in that picture just looks like they got their foot stepped on by a Clydesdale. And she's laughing and having a blast.
Oh, my goodness. Number six, she's totally popular. Why can't I be popular? like, there's a picture of her, like, you know, cozying up to the queen, and, like, somebody's giving her a rose, and she's like, oh, thank you. This means so much to me. I'm so popular. Oh. Hater. Number
seven.
Tell
us how you really feel, Leslie.
Number seven, she has a magical relationship with horses. Obviously, like, I found all these pictures of her online, and she's just, like, gazing into their horse's eyes, and she looks beautiful, and her hair is perfect, and her horses are beautiful.
When you pay a photographer $100,000, you can make that happen. No
she
problem.
She's perfect, Glenn. Shut up.
Eight. She gets to tell everybody what to do, and everybody has to do it, even if it's stupid. You know, she's like, she rules the FEI. She, you know, she's like, whatever she says goes. And the FEI is the, you know, the international governing body of all, you know, all the Olympic horse sports. So that's a pretty powerful position. Ugh. I'm trying to think what kind of rules. I would make up rules if I was the president of the FEI. Like, no more white breeches. Nobody's allowed to wear white breeches anymore because they just make you look fat. That's the first rule
dirty.
That I would make. And dirty.
Okay, Janet. Oh, that's a good one, Jamie. So what would your first rule be if you were queen of the FEI?
I would say that boots are not required. You are totally allowed to wear half chaps.
Oh, yes.
And I would declare that tight Western jeans are now in at dressage shows.
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know, Glenn.
That's for all the guys that have to go and watch dressage shows. Nothing to do with you. Everything to do with that.
It'd still be better than white breeches.
I'll
give you that.
There you go. Big belt buckles, too.
We should run for, whenever this office comes open, the three of us should run for joint FEI president.
Oh, yeah, that'd go well.
You know what? We'd beat that princess. We'd beat her.
We'd
take her down.
And which would be cool if we had that position, because number nine, Princess Haya is VIP at pretty much any horse show anywhere in the world. So not fair. Like, she can just show up wherever she wants. Any horse show, like, behind the scenes at Rolex, the World Equestrian Games, the World Cup,
the
Olympics.
I did get to meet her and do a two-minute interview with her at the World Equestrian Games when we were there.
Really?
Yeah, and she's very petite. You know, she's very tiny, actually.
Of course
and,
she is.
But,
she's tiny and pretty and skinny.
But she was very sweet and very rushed. You know, I had about 2 minutes, so I got my two-minute interview in, but along with about 1,000 other people in line.
Glenn,
but
listen,
it was fun.
Glenn, here's the deal. If this is at all possible, you have to play that interview Gareth next Monday with Leslie.
Let me see if I can find it. I'll look for it.
I bet you were a bumbling idiot.
You know, not so much because, you know, I just, you know, I didn't know a lot about her back then either. We had just started. I have to look for that. I'll look for it.
That's what I'm saying. You didn't know anything about her, or you were bumbling because she's so pretty.
You know, she's excited to be. I probably asked really dumb questions like, are you excited to be here? She probably said yes.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait to hear this. I cannot wait to hear this. You are going to play that next Monday for Leslie and I.
Yes, do it. Like, if I had to interview, I'd be like, what colored lip gloss are you wearing? It's really pretty.
Seriously, where do you get this hat? I really want
Where's that hat come from? How big is your house?
So the comments in this are pretty much the comments like we're making now. Now, obviously, your entire, before we get murdered by somebody in the FBI for saying all these things about the princess, just to let you know, we actually think she's an amazing woman. She's beautiful. She is a princess, but she's incredibly nice, and she works very, very hard. And so there's really nothing to hate about her. And then I start reading all these comments because, obviously, your entire thing is tongue-in-cheek and in jest. There's the last photo is her jumping. So she's an accomplished rider, too. She's jumping a car on a horse. she must be clearing a 6-foot fence. So it's really impressive, and she's an incredibly impressive woman. And I'm reading these comments, and like one person says, even though she's a princess, there's probably things she can't do in the Middle East. Women are second class. I bet she can't even drive a car. She can't vote either. And then somebody else points out that it's not voting, it's a monarchy, you idiot.
And other people are like, she doesn't clean her own stalls, and she has bad scrunchies in her hair, and it's like everybody actually tries to pick out something that's wrong with her, and it's like, you guys are all haters, and you missed the whole point, but we appreciate you jumping on the hating bandwagon.
And she actually is very nice and very smart. I mean, she does does a really good job. She does a really good job with her job, which is why she was reelected to that position.
We're just picking on her because we want to be her. It's a girl
and her
thing.
Her husband is the endurance rider, Sheikh Muhammad.
Uh huh.
So he's the endurance rider. Yeah.
Just gets better for us, Glenn. Thanks.
Now, what's this thing about P.F. Chang's?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I went to eat at P.F. Chang's last week. And so, you know, I just started thinking, you know, I was like, oh, those big horses. Because you always want to, like, climb up on them, right?
Yeah, but tell everybody what you're talking about. P.F. Chang's is a Chinese chain.
Yeah, it's a Chinese chain restaurant. And they have, like, sort of their thing is they always have, like, two 11-foot-tall gigantic stone or concrete horse statues outside the entrance to the restaurant. So I sort of started looking into it, what's up with the horses, obviously. And then it turns out that the backstory of the horses is actually really interesting. On the website, it says, our majestic 11-foot-tall horses grace the entrance to many of our restaurants. The horse symbolizes the original Forbidden City in China, which was built for China's first emperor. I'm not going to try and say it. Qin Shi Huang Dai. How's that?
Perfect. Wow, good.
So I started I started looking into this Forbidden City and looking into this Qin guy. And found out that it's really a pretty interesting story. Qin was crazy and terrible. He was born in 259 BC, and among the things that he's remembered for is burning books and burying scholars alive because he didn't want anyone to compare his legacy or his reign to that of emperors in the past. So he just decided that instead of giving them the opportunity to compare, that he would just kill them. So then at age 13, he decides that he's going to start building this giant, like, city-sized mausoleum for himself. And it's just, like, it goes, I mean, the construction, I think, took a good 20 years. And he filled it with treasures and, like, rivers of mercury and booby traps. And then also had it filled with, had it guarded by this so-called terracotta army. There was statues of soldiers. It was, like, 8,000 soldiers and chariots and several hundred horses. And so the horses at P.F. Chang's are actually sort of a reference to the horses in this mausoleum, which is kind of morbid if you think about it. It's just, like, and the story just gets worse. He finally dies. He's a super paranoid man, and he spends his whole life trying to find this elixir of youth. And ironically, he eventually dies because the Taoist magicians have told him that the elixir of youth exists on this island, like on the fringe of his empire, and it's guarded by a sea monster. And so he goes off to try and find it, and then he dies in the process. So,
the sea monster got him.
What's that?
The sea monster got him?
Probably.
Ah.
It was probably the sea monster. So he dies, he gets buried, and he has ruled that when he dies, like, not only is just he going to die, like, all the people that built the mausoleum, because they know all of it, the secrets and, you know, the mechanics of the booby traps. Like, they're, you know, they know too much, so they've got to die too. So it ends up, you know, so basically they, like, call all the workers in after he's buried and then just seal the thing off. So all of these, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are in there with him, and then they just, you know, and left to die. Isn't that terrible?
There's a cheery story for your Monday morning.
Horrific. And so that's the story of the concrete horses outside of P.F. Chang's. I'm like, really? Like, what?
That's, you know, I have a friend that actually works for P.F. Chang's, not in the restaurant. She actually is like one of their accountants and stuff, and she's an inventor. And I guarantee she doesn't know this story. I cannot wait to quiz her after the show and be like, hey, tell me why there's P.F. Chang's horses. She's not going to know. And I'll be like, well, listen, there's this crazy guy who thought he could kill everybody. And I'm going to kind of recap that story for her. And she's going to be so impressed with my knowledge. Thank you.
So does this, are they trying to really say if you eat at P.F. Chang's, you're going to die a horrible, miserable death? Is that really what they're getting at?
No, definitely not. But, I mean, they kind of, I think they probably, P.F. Chang's is like, oh, this looks nice, having these horses. And then they kind of put this glossy little description of, you know, what they're symbolize and on their website. And then they never think that, like, somebody's actually going to look into it and be like, that's messed up.
That makes me feel better because I really like P.F. Chang's food. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
And they have such good tofu dishes. Oh, my God, I have to go there tonight for dinner. Okay, babe, we're going
to have
PFA
one? We don't have one. You're lucky you have one. Oh.
I have one.
And it's always packed. You can't get in. That's the only problem with P.F. Chang's. It's like Olive Garden. You can never get in.
Well, P.F. Chang's now has P.F. Chang's in your freezer section. You can go to the grocery store and buy P.F. Chang's now.
True fact.
So look for that.
True fact.
Are they paying for this?
Do they have the tofu?
I don't... You're going to pay for my dinner tonight. Hey, no, so according to P.F. Chang's website, all they have, and I saw this on Horse Nation, so credit to you guys for finding this, but our majestic 11-foot-tall horses grace the entrance to many of our restaurants. This horse symbolizes the original Forbidden City in China, which was built for China's first emperor, Qin Shi Huangdi. Now, they didn't get any deeper, so at least they addressed it, but they didn't want to talk about what a horrible murdering guy he was.
Probably,
but it sure makes me hungry.
Left that part out,
Sure makes me hungry.
Well, Leslie, now that you've made us hungry and talked all about the gay horses of the world, we're going to let you go. You can find all of that good stuff over at horsenation.com. Thank you once again for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks,
and
Leslie.
Don't forget, Leslie, tune in next Monday for Glenn's stellar, amazing award-winning interview with Princess Haya.
If I can find it. I got
to
find
it.
That's a different story. There were hundreds of those episodes, so I'm not sure I can find it. I'll look.
You better find it.
I'll look. Thank
gold.
You, Leslie.
Okay, talk soon.
Bye. Oh, you better find it. It's not even funny.
I'll look. The only way I'm going to find it is if I actually wrote it in the show notes that I interviewed her. So we'll see. It was a two-minute interview. I'm not sure I did or not. That's what I'm trying to remember. I'll look. I will give it my best. Hey, I'll find it as soon as you guys book those two interviews you were supposed to do. You had that challenge like 2 months ago, and neither one of you have come through.
Listen, I'm stalking that guy as good as I can, okay? I brought you two other guys.
I even forget who it was now. It's been so long.
His name is Don Jeans from the Budweiser commercial, and he's very busy, okay? He got a lot of calls.
Who was Jennifer's? Jennifer, who was yours again? I forget who hers was.
Rosie Napravnik. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, how come you haven't gotten Rosie yet, my girlfriend?
Well, as far as I can tell, all of my communications are going into the spam file folder. Yeah.
We have to get Frankie on this. Frankie will know Rosie.
I've been labeled.
I have to call Frankie. Yeah. See, Frankie, we need help. We need help getting Rosie on the show.
Yeah.
Plus, we are at a wrong time of day. They're out working horses this time of day. Well, they should be getting done by 9 to 10 o'clock, right?
She should be done by now. Are you kidding?
Yeah. That's
She's
true.
Just too important.
Too important to talk to us. Little less. How about Carrie Underwood? How have you done on that?
That's your job.
Done very well on that one.
Well, he has to take a break because the restraining order is for the next 90 days. Yeah.
Let's call it a day.
We'll be back on Wednesday. Don't forget to give us a call at 347-637-3238 for the Wheel of Trivia on Wednesday morning. We expect to hear some new voices on Wednesday. Don't be afraid to call. Look, look how many people have been winning. The questions can't be that hard. So give us a call at Wednesday morning. And what else is there? That's about it, right? Anything
else? Send in a really bad ad. What the heck?
Yeah, go ahead and send in a really bad ad. I saw one come in last week that just cracked me up. That'll be in this week. So that'll be
awesome.
In this week. Yeah.
Perfect. Everybody, please have a great day. Don't forget, spay, neuter, and geld. Even geld your peeps, which you can see the picture of the brutal surgery on horses in the morning Facebook page.
And keep an eye on those geldings in that back 40. You never know what they're doing back there.
Yeah, you do. Now you do.